Well, good morning, everybody. And if you haven't already been welcomed, welcome to Grace Bible Chapel this morning. We are having, in my mind, a very exciting series this summer that I'm hoping that you'll enjoy as much as I do. You know, the Word of God is an interesting thing. God has spoken into this world, and we have it written down in the Bible. And as people hear the Word of God, it changes their lives. And for some of us, when we heard it for the first time or later on, we actually put our faith in Jesus Christ, and that started a life of transformation for us. But it doesn't stop there. It starts as we get to know Jesus, but then the Word of God keeps working in our lives and keeps causing us to change and to grow as we trust and know Jesus better through that process. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to have three more testimonies. And this time all the testimonies are people from Grace who are also part of the summer training program. So I'm excited about that. And we'll be listening to Peter and then to Nick and then to Arlena as they tell stories about how God has worked in their life. Some of it we're going to be hearing stories of how they initially came to know the Lord. Some of it we're going to be hearing stories about actually how God is continuing to work in their life. And then after that, we're going to have Jim come on up, and he was going to give us something from the Word that hopefully we can apply to our own life as well and bring forth life that way. So I'll introduce each as they come forward, but right now, Peter, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And while you are, I'm going to open us up in prayer. So Peter, come on forward. Lord, I would ask that you would be helping us to listen to every person here, name, hear how you've worked in their life, and inspire us to listen to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So the Bible says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God. Today I want to talk about how I've recently been seeing the gospel work in my life and how it's bringing about my submission to Christ. As many know, I grew up in a missionary family. Many know my parents, Brian and Joy, and my sister Allison that also goes to Grace. I have another sister, Faith, that is going to Hillview, and then Alan just called all the kids to Crosswalk just now. So for 4 years, we lived in central Mexico and then moved back in 2000. I got saved at a young age, realizing my need for repentance and a personal savior. In 2002, we moved back to Mexico, this time to Ensenada, not too far from the San Diego border. Early on, I was barely a teen. I saw my dad wanting me to have to experience a relationship with Christ outside of just Sunday and services. We used to have a sort of discipleship where we'd get like, I didn't drink coffee at that point, so I just loved getting like the sugary smoothies at this like coffee shop, and we'd go upstairs and we'd have a memorization of scripture. We would memorize Proverbs 3. So I remember a lot of stuff about wisdom and the importance of wise words. But two of the verses that are very well-known verses that stuck with me are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight. As I grew up, I went to church on Sunday, prayer meetings, a youth group on Saturday night. I accompanied my family to visitations, open-air preachings that my dad would do with the paintboard. I even helped at Awana. We had Awana down there. And then later in 2011, I joined like a pretty intensive, similar to SDP, called the Capacitación, which is like the training program. And we even went on a missions trip to southern Baja, so like really small towns south of Baja, maybe right before you get to like Cabo and La Paz. But these are like really small towns, so I got to even like speak at a small church. I did have a desire to know more about God and about his word, but a lot of it was just head knowledge, and it wasn't like a top priority in my life. When I was with my sports friends or friends from school, I would use the same bad language as them. I would join in their jokes. I just kind of wanted to fit in, and I rarely ever witnessed. Maybe I would bring it up that I was a missionary or a Christian, but I didn't really witness. I wasn't really submitted to God in that time. Philippians 2:8-9 said, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." Jesus is Lord, but was it showing in my life? In 2015, we moved back to the Bay Area. I went to Hillview and got to know a few people. I had a few friends from church that I hung out with. I would make an appearance at Saltworks, at Sunday Night Soccer, mainly just like events. I enjoyed hanging out, especially with the brothers from the Spanish group, Ruben and Martin, and just because they had the same culture that I grew up in. But sometimes I'd leave like right when the service ended, or I'd be late to BOB, and then I'd occasionally go to Grace. This was my first time working in a job, and honestly, I was kind of like glad to be in the U.S. Now I could like spend my own money, go to restaurants, find cool restaurants to go to concerts, go to ball games, and that was more, you know, I didn't really care about a budget, and just kind of felt like just, I thought, hey, I can enjoy my life. It's, I'm making my own money, and I'm still going through college, so it's okay. Like, you know, what I want to do, I can go do stuff and spend my money how I want. I didn't really think of it as God's money or anything. Around 2018, I started meeting almost weekly with my brother-in-law, Sanjay. These meetings have been really life-changing, changing how I viewed being part of the body of Christ. You know, gospel. I saw that how the gospel must be active in my life. I always thought gospel was just like, because we know gospel is good news. I always thought it was just like, oh, you get preached the gospel, you become a Christian. And I knew you had to do other stuff, like you wanted to show fruits, but I just didn't see it as like this really active working force until I started meeting with him and talking through stuff. I saw how the gospel must be active in my life. I was encouraged to memorize scripture. I'd memorized scripture as a kid, but I'd kind of stopped doing it. We had accountability with quiet times, so I was encouraged there. And we prayed for each other's needs, talked about, and I kind of learned to like see what people's needs were and talk to them and really see what was going on in their life, especially people in the church, in the body. And later I was encouraged to join a ministry, and I've been an usher here at Grace for a few months now, gotten to know Ken, and he has some great stories. If you ever talk to Ken, he's a cool guy, and I've gotten to know Frank, he's awesome, and Sean a little bit more too, and just been some great fellowship with these brothers, and it's just been a great ministry so far in doing ushering. And let's see here. More recently, a few months ago, I was encouraged by Sanjay to join STP. Before, I always thought STP, it's like for very mature Christians, and it's just going to take up a lot of my time, and I was always working jobs that had kind of odd hours. But I decided to leave my job. I was kind of considering leaving it for different reasons, especially since I'm almost done with college and I was pursuing an internship. But I knew that's what God wanted me to do, to free up my hours to do STP. And I saw it as something that God was going to use greatly. And so right away I wanted to do it, but of course I prayed about it first. I'm so glad I signed up, honestly. It hasn't been easy. There's a lot of homework. There's a lot of just like, not just homework, but there's a lot of things that we have to get done and things to do. But it's just like so much different from like doing school or doing chores, because we're like really doing it for God. And it's been tough, but at the same time, I almost don't want it to end. Like, I feel like when it's over, it's going to be tough, because I've made a lot of friendships there, and it's just cool just working with all these brothers in Christ and growing together. I thank God that when I'm weak, he is strong. Even when I'm not seeking or living under his lordship, he desires a close relationship and seeks me. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your gospel.
Yeah, I hope one of the things we're learning here is that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And it's not just when you initially come to know him. It keeps working in your life from that point on. And I know for a lot of us, that's a revolutionary thought. God, but I'd like you to just sort of dwell on that as you start thinking about what God really is doing in this world. And now we get to hear from Arlena, and she'll tell you the real story about Nick. There. No. Come. You know, one of the great things is that the Word of God works through all of us. You know, and church, if you're playing church, it's you don't understand it. You have to live the body of Christ. You have to be part of each other's lives. And Nick, what you just said is a great example of how the Lord does that through us all. And so I just want to encourage you guys. You know, these are real stories of a real God working in our lives. And you don't want to miss out by not standing where God wants you to stand.
Good afternoon. My name is Arlena McClure, and of course, I fellowship here with you guys at Grace Bible Chapel. And today, I stand a new creation in Jesus Christ because I profess Jesus Christ as Lord. And I was in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. I wasn't always able to say this before. I lived a life of lies, lust, alcoholism, slander, and I ended up seeing sin as normal. Everybody sins, it's a normal thing to do, and it's just a part of life. My parents were both hippies growing up, so they raised me with a very open mind about religion and who is God. My mom was more of a spiritual Buddhist, and my dad was a non-practicing Catholic. I leaned more towards the spiritual Buddhist side, which was a positive attitude goes a long way in life. And who knows where you're going to die? I mean, who knows where you're going to go after you die? And it didn't really matter. So having this positive mindset only goes so far with joy, because anything can make a good day go bad. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. True self-control is of the Holy Spirit. Everything else is just suppressing your emotions or being in denial of situations that come and go. For an example, when I was at Lexus in March of 2018, I got into a horrible car accident with a customer's car. I felt so horrible for months, and I couldn't shake the feeling that I messed up so bad, and I thought I could never live down the situation. Even the police officer was comforting me, and he told me that's why it's called an accident. And I still dwelled in my own self-pity. Having this mindset of a positive attitude just sunk me down into a pit of loneliness, sorrow, and despair. The lifestyle that I was living led to more sin, which led to worse sin, and my sin was like an anchor tied to my ankle, and I was just sinking into the ocean. My sin became a horrible burden. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And I felt that death within myself, within my family relationships. I never knew there was a kind of redemption for me. A person who used to mock Jesus and not even knowing who I was mocking. My life was filled with unanswered questions that led to depression and emptiness inside. As a young adult, I had no motivation to continue. I called it quits and gave up on life. And that night, I fell asleep emotionally drained and mentally distraught. That morning at 5 a.m., Christmas of 2018, I woke up to a televangelist on the TV saying, "Give your life to Jesus Christ." With such excitement in my soul, the answer to all my life's problems was staring me in the face and saying, "Follow me." All the information of Jesus had flooded through my mind. I knew he was crucified, I knew he resurrected, and I knew that he ascended, but that was it. I didn't know what repentance was, but I knew I was living my life wrong. And I was going the wrong direction, and he was the right direction. I said the prayer of salvation and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I knew at that moment my anchor of guilt had been broken. Jesus took all my shame, my guilt, and my pain. I may have given up on myself, but Jesus never gave up on me. Revelation 3:20 says, "See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus at that moment had brought my spirit life, and he also gave me value, and he restored me. He restored my dignity. And for now 3.5 years, I've had the best relationship in my life. Jesus is my guide, my defender, my comforter, my best friend, my teacher, and at times the one who convicts me of my sin. The Lord is the one who led me to Grace Bible Chapel. In January of 2020, I was working the morning shift at Costco, and eventually I met Frank Ta, who invited me and my husband, Nick, to Grace Bible Chapel for Easter, where we have found fellowship with the body of Christ. And I do have an abundant life with Jesus Christ. I went from unanswered questions to life to knowing the one who has all the answers to life. Now, there are still challenges in my life, but I know I always have a Savior to my life. Daily, I read my Bible, pray, seek the Lord, and pick up my cross to follow him. I have learned in my own efforts I can do nothing, but with Christ, I can do all things. John 15:4, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit, there can you unless you remain in me. This verse has become a reality to my life and to my relationship with Jesus Christ. Daily, I fight with myself to read the Bible, deny myself, and pick up his will, not mine. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. As long as I submit to the Lord, I am in the Lord's will, and I see him working in my life. I have come to experience God's grace in a way I have not known before. His goodness doesn't mean money or goods, but peace in the midst of disaster, comfort amongst sudden death of a parent, joy when surrounded by sorrow. I can experience God's grace because Jesus is in me by the Holy Spirit. I can live this abundant life because of what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross at Calvary. Thank you.
And turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to preach a list sermon, I call it, but based on the time, you're only going to get half the list, unless you want more. But in 2002, 20 years ago, here at Grace Bible Chapel, we presented a compilation of tributes to our fathers on Father's Day. My dad was alive and well in 2002, and I wrote, "Dad, I want you to know I'm thinking of you this Father's Day. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in providing for us. Only now, as a father myself, do I fully appreciate your tireless efforts. Dad, you knew how to be a dad to a boy like me. You gave me the direction and love and discipline I needed. You put our family's interests before your own. You made time to be part of my life. Thank you, Dad, for guiding me with wisdom and by your example. And as I grew older, you supported me in my dreams. Thank you, Dad, for your patience in those difficult transitional years. Now that I've become a little more reflective with age, I realize how much I am like my dad. Happy Father's Day. I love you, your son, Jim. You know, each one of us is an influencer. Each one of us, through our conduct, what we say, we affect other people. Jesus was very aware that what he taught and how he lived would influence his disciples. After washing his disciples' feet, he said, "I gave you an example. Do also to others as I've done to you." You know, that event would have stuck with them, along with the multitude of others, for the rest of their lives. Each one of us is an influencer. The Apostle Paul knew in the twilight time of his life, and he writes about it in 2 Timothy, that he was influencing his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. I've titled this short little message, Elements of an Inspirational Christian Life. Do you want to know how to live? What are the elements of an influential Christian life? Paul's going to give us a list in 2 Timothy 3. Now, I'd encourage you as I read these two verses that you reflect, take inventory. How are you doing in these areas? Each one of us is an influencer, and what we say and how we live affects others. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, Paul could say this to Timothy, "You followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, my persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Why did Timothy follow Paul in all these things? Because Paul lived an inspirational Christian life. We'll start with teaching. Paul taught what was true and what was important. The Apostle Paul knew what he believed, or should I say, he knew who he believed. He writes earlier in this book, "I know who I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." Timothy was inspired to follow Paul's teaching because he knew Paul believed it, and he resolutely taught it. Paul taught, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Clear enough, isn't it? Paul knew what to teach, and he taught it with authority, just as Jesus. Teaching is an element of an inspirational Christian life. And then Paul lists conduct. You know, to talk without walk isn't going to inspire. To act inconsistent with what you teach is hypocrisy. Paul was very careful in his conduct. He wanted the prints of his feet to press as close as possible to the prints of his forerunner, Jesus Christ. And as they pressed, they would deepen that tread so that others, it'd be ever so clear to others how to follow after him. You know, in 1967, I was an 8-year-old, a TV ad aired showing a father with his 3 or 4 year old son. And it starts out like father, like son. And as dad is busy doing a list of Saturday morning chores like washing the car or running errands, his son watches ever so carefully and is mimicking everything his dad does. Then dad takes a break, sits on the grass, leans his back up against a tree, reaches into his pocket, pulls out not a pack of cards, but another kind of pack. This is 1967. Pulls out a cigarette, lights it up, and lays the pack of cigarettes between him and his son. And that 3 or 4 year old picks up the pack, looks at it, looks at his dad with a question mark in his head. And the ad ends, like father, like son. Think about it. Each one of us is an influencer. What we say, what we do, affects others. Paul had a Timothy who followed him in teaching and in conduct, and then he lists and in purpose. You know, long before a book was written, A Purpose-Driven Life, Paul lived with a purpose. He knew his purpose. He didn't just take life as it came, but he used his liberty, the liberty we all have in Jesus Christ, to achieve a known purpose. You know, you may have heard the expression, "Don't follow me, I'm lost." Or, "Don't follow me, I don't know where I'm going." Christian, that's not true of you. We have a commission. Jesus expressed it, the one who has authority over heaven and earth and us. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You have a purpose. You know, I was watching a documentary on the rise of the Roman Empire. I was impressed by these Romans. They were tenacious in achieving the purpose they had, which was to rule the known world. Timothy followed Paul in teaching, conduct, and purpose. And then he says, and in faith. You know, faith, I think, is misunderstood. Looking at our young girls over there, faith is often misunderstood. Much like love is misunderstood. You know, love is not like you're just walking along and suddenly out of the blue you're struck by Cupid's arrow. And you have, as someone said to me recently, a youth, a one-day crush. We know that's not love. Love is actually commanded and can be inspired. We love, why? Because he first loved us. He's inspired us to love. Similarly, faith can be inspired. Someone can be shown to be trustworthy. Paul trusted God through thick or thin, and his faith inspired Timothy to believe. You know, for the parents here, I would say your children conclude who you believe in before they're really sure who they believe in. You following me? You can inspire another to believe through your own faith. Faith is contagious, and faith is an element of an inspirational Christian life. Should I continue? Got a thumbs up from my elder. I'll go quickly. He then lists patience, love, and perseverance, three more elements of an inspirational life. I'm going to cover these together. Paul actually connects them together in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love is patient. And regarding perseverance, he wrote, love believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Elements of an inspirational life. Patience, love, and perseverance. Paul wrote that from a prison cell with winter coming, realizing his end is near. And he writes ever so poignantly, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. But he could say that with patience, love, and perseverance, he fought the good fight. He finished his course, and he kept the faith. Do you want to live a life like that and inspire others? Patience, love, and perseverance are elements of an inspirational Christian life. And I'll end with two more, persecutions and sufferings. We'll be studying this book soon enough, and you'll see that theme is through the book. Christian, we follow a Savior who suffered his way to victory. Do you understand that? You know, the outer man, the flesh, it needs to be torn away or worn away in order for the inner man to be seen in his or her fullness. Just as Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master, Paul is more or less saying to Timothy, you know, they called Jesus Beelzebub. You saw how they treated me, or heard about it. Iconium, remember? Lystra. They stoned me there. Don't expect any better. But Paul concludes, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. You know, Kim Staskis and I exchanged emails recently. And we were talking about, if you know my history, and he's recovering from open heart surgery, we were talking about the refining effect of suffering, inching your way back to health. Persecution and suffering are elements of an inspirational Christian life. So saints, you know, there's no formula to follow to assure that your life will glorify God and be an inspiration to others. But I'd ask you, review this list and ask yourself, are you pleasing your master in these things and inspiring others in the same? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you went before us as a forerunner. By your grace, we're able actually to follow in your steps. And as we do, Lord, we pray would inspire others to do the same. Amen.